Now, if you remember the film Amadeus, you'll remember F. Murray Abraham's Oscar-winning performance as Mozart's arch-musical rival Antonio Salieri. And he sort of reprises his role here on 4 Extra this week as the reader of our radio adaptation of Peter Schaffer's Amadeus. In part two, a world premiere and the hatching of a vengeful plot.
F. Murray Abraham reads Amadeus by Peter Schaffer, adapted in 8 parts by Neville Teller. Episode 2.
Which I first heard Mozart's voice, the voice of an obscene child. I'd also heard Mozart's music, and it seemed to me that I had heard the voice of God. I was suddenly frightened. I ran home and buried my fear in work. More pupils, until there were 30 or 40. More motets and anthems to God's glory. And at night I prayed for just one thing. Let your sound enter me. Let me be your conduit. Let me. As for Mozart, I avoided meeting him in person, but I set out for whatever scores of his could be found. I studied these works. They were all clever, no doubt about it, but they seemed to me empty, conventional, the productions of a precocious youngster. Leopold Mozart's swanky son. The serenade that had so moved me was obviously an exception, the sort of accident which might visit any composer on a lucky day. Had I, in fact, simply been taken by surprise that the filthy creature could write music at all? Suddenly I felt immensely cheered. In my new mood of bonhomie, I decided to organize a formal welcome to Vienna for him. And so a meeting was arranged to take place in the presence of the Emperor. Emperor Joseph II of Austria, brother of Marie Antoinette, adorer of music, provided it made no demands on the royal ear. While Herr Mozart was waiting in an antechamber, I informed His Majesty that I'd composed a little march in Mozart's honor and asked royal leave to play it on the fortepiano as he came in. Declaring it a delightful idea, His Majesty sent for the young man. So, as Mozart was announced, I struck up with my march, and in he strutted. The Emperor couldn't have been more gracious. He recalled the first occasion on which they met, when Mozart had been 6 years old. The little boy had slipped on the floor at Schönbrunn, and the Emperor's sister, Antoinette, had run forward and picked him up. At that, the child had jumped into her arms, kissed her on both cheeks, and said, "Will you marry me, yes or no?" As the assembled courtiers laughed politely at the oft-heard story, His Majesty formally introduced Mozart to me, and we exchanged the usual flowery compliments. "Now tell me, Mozart," said the Emperor, "have you received our commission for the opera?" "Indeed I have, Majesty. I'm so grateful I can hardly speak. I swear to you that you will have the best, the most perfect entertainment ever offered a monarch. I've already found a libretto." This piece of intelligence startled the director of the Imperial Opera, Count Orsini Rosenberg, who'd already shown himself no friend of the young upstart. "A libretto? I haven't been informed of this." "Forgive me, Herr Director," said Mozart. "I entirely omitted to tell you." "And who, pray, is it by?" demanded the director. "Stefani." "A most unpleasant man," said Orsini Rosenberg. "But," countered Mozart, "a brilliant writer." He turned to the Emperor. "The story is really amusing, Majesty. The whole plot is set in..." "Yes," said His Majesty. "Where?" "It's set in a seraglio."
"A what?"
A pasha's harem. The director of the Imperial Opera was outraged. And you imagine that this is a suitable subject for performance at a national theater? Why ever not, said Mozart. It's very funny, and there's nothing offensive in it, nothing at all. It's full of proper German virtues, like love. I took leave to challenge our guest. Excuse me, but I was under the impression one rarely saw anything else expressed in opera. I mean proper love, said Mozart. Love between ordinary men and women. Not male sopranos screeching, all that absurd Italian nonsense. I mean the real thing. The Emperor seemed quite taken with the idea and asked when the work would be ready. The first act's already finished, said Mozart. But it can't be more than 2 weeks since you started. Composing isn't hard, sire, said Mozart, when you have the right audience to please. At this, His Majesty, looking particularly gratified, took his leave. Shortly afterwards, the others drifted away, and I found myself alone with the young man. I wish you success with your opera, I said. Mozart's least endearing quality was his total lack of modesty. Oh, it's going to be superb. I've already found an excellent singer for the leading part. And who is that? Her name, said Mozart, is Caterina Cavalieri. She's really German, but she thinks it'll advance her career if she sports an Italian name. She's quite right, I said. That was my idea. She is, in fact, my prize pupil. Actually, she's a very innocent child. She's only 20. I'd kept my hands off Caterina, yes, but I couldn't bear to think of anyone else's hands upon her, least of all his. You're a good fellow, Salieri, said Mozart, and that's a jolly little thing you wrote for me. Let's see if I can remember it, may I? And he sat down at the fortepiano and played the whole piece right through from memory. It was perfect. Not a note wrong. I congratulated him. If the incident had ended there, all would have been well. But Herr Mozart chose to start the march again. When he reached bar 8, he stopped. It doesn't really work that fourth, does it? He said. Let's try the third above. He did so. Ah, yes. Good. And from there he proceeded to construct a totally different march from my simple little tune. A work so infinitely superior that I could say nothing. All I could do was to stand and look and listen, overwhelmed by the creature's virtuosity. He finished with a series of triumphant flourishes and chords and took his departure, mightily pleased with himself. Was it then so early that I began to have thoughts of murder? Of course not, at least not in real life. But I determined to compose a huge tragic opera based on the legend of Danaus, who, for a monstrous crime, was chained to a rock for eternity, his head repeatedly struck by lightning. Wickedly, in my head, I saw Mozart in that position. In reality, of course, the man was in no danger from me at all. Not yet. For the first performance of Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio, held in the presence of the Emperor, the creature had chosen to wear an even more vulgar coat than usual. As for the music, it matched the coat completely. For my dear pupil, Caterina Cavalieri, he'd written quite simply the showiest aria I'd ever heard. 10 minutes of scales and ornaments amounting in the end to a vast emptiness. So ridiculous was the piece, in fact, so much what might be demanded by a foolish young soprano, that I knew precisely what Mozart must have demanded in return for it. Although engaged to be married, he'd had her. I knew that beyond any doubt. The creature had had my darling girl. If the evening afforded me any satisfaction at all, it was the Emperor's reaction to the performance. "So, Mozart," said His Majesty, "a good effort. Decidedly that, a good effort." "Do you really like it, sire?"
"I thought it was most interesting," said the Emperor. "Yes, indeed, a trifle, how shall one say?"
He turned to his director of opera, Count Orsini Rosenberg, who happily supplied the mot juste.
"Too many notes, Your Majesty?"
"Very well put," said the Emperor.
"Too many notes."
Mozart seemed genuinely puzzled.
"I don't understand."
"My dear fellow," said the Emperor, "don't take it too hard. There are, in fact, only so many notes that the ear can take in during the course of an evening." He turned to me. "I think I'm right in saying that, aren't I, court composer?" For a moment I was at a loss, but for a moment only. "Well, yes, I would say yes. On the whole, yes, Majesty."
"There you are," said the Emperor. "It's clever, it's German, it's quality work, and there are simply too many notes. Do you see?"
"There are," said Mozart, "just as many notes as are required, Majesty, neither more nor less." An appalled silence fell over the company as the courtiers surrounding the royal presence wondered how His Majesty would take this blatant refutation of his observation. In the event, the Emperor simply said,
"Ah, well, there it is,"
and left abruptly. The others followed him, and I was left alone with Mozart and his fiancée Constanze.
"Herr Salieri," said Mozart, "is he angry?"
I tried to reassure him.
"Not at all.
He respects you for your views."
"I hope so," Mozart looked at me. "And what did you think yourself, sir? Did you care for the piece at all?"
"Yes, of course, Mozart. At best, it's truly charming."
"And at other times?"
I tried to phrase my criticism diplomatically.
"Well, just occasionally. In Caterina's aria, for example, it was a little excessive."
"Caterina's an excessive girl," said Mozart. "In fact, she's insatiable. I mean, in regard to vocal ornamentation."
"All the same," I said, "as my revered teacher, the Chevalier Gluck, used to say to me, one must avoid music that smells of music."
"What does that mean?" demanded Mozart.
"It means music that makes one aware too much of the virtuosity of the composer."
"Well," said Mozart, "I'd hate to offend a chevalier, even though I am one myself."
"Indeed," I observed.
Mozart's fiancée jumped in to assure me that, on this occasion, he hadn't allowed his vanity to overreach itself.
"Oh, yes, Herr Salieri. The Pope made Wolfgang a chevalier when he was only 14.
"Extraordinary," I murmured.
"They say," said Mozart, "that Gluck used the title all the time. He insisted on being addressed by it."
"And you prefer not to be?"
"I think titles are absurd in connection with music."
"Even," I queried, "court composer?" Too late, Mozart realized his faux pas.
"What? Oh, well, that's different, of course. Oh, my father's right again. He tells me I should padlock my mouth. Actually, I shouldn't speak at all."
I changed the subject. "Won't you introduce me to your charming fiancée?"
"Oh, of course. Constanze, this is Herr Salieri, the court composer.
Fräulein Weber." I bowed to her.
"Delighted. And may I ask when you marry?"
Mozart intervened. "We have to secure my father's consent. He's a wonderful man, but in some ways a little stubborn."
"Excuse me," I said, "but how old are you?"
26.
"Then your father's consent is scarcely indispensable. My advice to you is to marry and be happy. You have found, it's quite obvious, a rare treasure."
Grabbing my hand, Constanze bestowed a grateful kiss on it.
"Ta very much."
I wished them both good night. And as I watched them walk away, Constanze hanging onto his arm, I felt a lightning thought strike. Never in my life had I entertained a notion so sinful, such an abomination. Have her. Have the creature's fiancée. Her for Caterina.
Thank you.
F. Murray Abraham was reading Amadeus by Peter Schaffer, adapted by Neville Teller and directed by Peter Leslie Wilde.
Tomorrow in part three, Salieri wrestles with his conscience and Mozart makes a serious faux pas.